Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
To another mailbag, guys.
Mailbag.
That's right. And we have got such a backlog of mail here. We are going male only on this one. We are not even going to be doing any voicemails.
No females?
This episode.
No female.
No, male, M-A-I-L. It's also male only because there's Bob, Joe, Ryan, Farrell, and me.
Oh,
so it's male only and male only.
Wow.
So
a lot
male,
of mail.
Male
so
on
it's
male.
Male on male.
That's right. We got stacks of it. Mail on mail on mail. Here
Gotta
we go.
Pay for, double for that kind of action.
First email comes from Sam Johnson. It says, James and the gang, I discovered you guys through social media. Since I listened.
What? What? Mail on mail. What's his last name? Johnson.
First
we're on a roll today,
Sam
man.
Sam Johnson.
You guys.
We're on a roll.
Guys, so juvenile.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Next guy was Richard Head.
Say, I discovered you guys through social media. Since I listened to my first episode, I've been binging your show ever since.
Nice.
Thanks, Sam. You guys have become my favorite podcast, even so much that I subscribe to the Patreon.
Hey!
Let's go.
Hey!
Just a side note, a long time ago, I heard someone point out that in Reindeer Games, the protagonist's name is Rudolph, and that the entire movie is possibly some kind of play on the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer song, which I think Patrick might have even brought up in the episode,
I remember
right.
Huh.
But yeah, that's true.
I've never viewed Reindeer Games like that.
Yeah.
But
that's why his name is Rudy.
Well, I mean, I got now. I'm just like, I guess. Huh.
Anyway, love you guys, except Bob. I love Bob more.
Oh,
see, he started to laugh.
The old,
wow.
The old
switcheroo on you, Joe.
Shake and bake on me there.
Yep. Yeah, he got
right.
You.
Thank
you, Mr. Johnson.
Sam, thank you, sir. Next email comes in from Dustin Parker or Pustin Darker. That's what we can call him.
But there you go.
Pustin writes in and says, it's Webbin time. Just watched Madam Webb. Arnold could not save this movie.
Ooh, I've heard bad
yeah?
things about this movie.
All right. I mean, this just came out, 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
maybe? Yeah.
He said Moonfall is a masterpiece compared to this.
That's a big statement.
Can I get a mailbag shout out for my fiance, Amy, for finishing her chemotherapy treatments? Absolutely.
Nice.
All right.
Yes.
Way to go.
Right. Congratulations, Amy.
She's stronger than Steven Seagal's cologne.
Yes.
Sending peace and love from Saskatchewan, Canada. Thanks, Dustin. We appreciate you, brother. And yeah, Amy, that's awesome, man. Glad to hear things are on the mend. All right. We got an email here from Bill Gerson's back again, our favorite
hey.
Guy.
Gert.
We're not doing this.
Okay.
In my brain, I've settled it. I can't go backwards. This email says how I feel about Silent Rage and Nancy. Nancy being the wife of Dr. Ron Tom that
you
we
guys just
argued
hate this woman.
About.
Hold on.
Well, see what I don't know what Bill thinks. I hated
let him
her.
Cook.
The two of you liked. Sadly, I don't have Kurt here to back me
I
up.
I know.
Again.
Let him cook. Let him. Let's let this see. Cook.
I've been meaning to watch this movie for some time and kept putting it off. So what finally made me watch it? So I could weigh in on the debate about whether Nancy is a good or a bad wife. My take, I'm with Joe and Bob.
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
Wow.
Is this on the Patreon, by the way, at all? Or, no. Not Patreon. Is this on the Discord? Did they make a discussion on this?
Oh, no, I don't know if they... I think maybe they...
I haven't checked in a little while.
So I could weigh in... Or no, you go, so I'm with Joe and Bob. I say she's an awesome wife. It's clear James is looking for reasons to hate her.
Oh, man.
Bill, I don't have to look for reasons to hate this email. I say that because he totally admitted that her husband said that he wanted more alcohol. So clearly the wine she bought was for him and not herself. Mm-hmm. And her asking him about his work seemed like genuine concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
It would for somebody that can't see gaslighting when it's happening.
Oh, my gosh.
Also, what might shock you is that I say this is a good movie that rules.
See?
Wow.
And he's not a slasher fan in the slightest. What made the difference? Chuck Norris made all the difference.
Of course.
After all I've said, I've come to realization that everyone did not like Nancy, also did not like the movie. Oh, I guess that's true.
Ooh.
This means that if you like the movie, you will like Nancy. And don't go off on the fact that she was a dumbass and how she got killed. It's a slasher film. Everybody that gets killed in slasher flicks are dumbasses. On a final note, I work with someone who Chuck Norris was kind enough to share his birthday with, Bill Gers. Yeah. He only can have his birthday if he lets you have the same birthday.
It's true.
As him.
It's true.
All right, Bill. That was an okay email.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
I appreciate you.
Stop. That's enough.
Good job, Bill.
He gets it.
I love you, Bill.
Okay. Where are we? All right. Here we go. Chris Walkden has emailed the show.
Christopher Walken?
No, Walkden.
Dang it.
Says, hi, James and the gang. I emailed about 6 months ago after I first found this podcast and I'm making my way through the back catalog. I'm about 35 episodes behind now, and I can honestly say this show just keeps getting better and better. The Patreon is well worth the money, and if anybody is thinking about joining up, I'd highly recommend doing it. Thanks, Chris.
Nice. What a nice,
that's a hell of a plug.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. Checks in the mail.
not sure if this has been asked before,
sponsorship.
But which movie has surprised you the most and how good or bad the movie was before you watched it? Thanks.
Silent Rage.
Chris Walkden. No, not the actor.
Silent Rage.
Oh,
Silent
man.
Rage.
Absolutely. I was not expecting it to be that enjoyable for me.
Well, I think I've said on many occasions that like Winners Take All and Hands of Steel were probably two of the ones that surprised me on the good end. One that surprised me how bad it was, I gotta say Moonfall probably.
Yeah.
I know he just brought that up, but I'm just thinking. I was like, high budget. I like some of these actors. How bad could it be? And it was awful.
Yeah, Roland Emmerich's had kind of a rough go.
That really sucked.
Even after Independence Day resurgence. I mean,
yeah.
he has not resurged.
Was there one that you were surprised how bad it was when you watched it? You pretty much like... No, you know what? I take it all back. Rubber. Okay?
No reason.
There you go.
It's Rubber. Yes.
That's how bad you thought that one was?
I thought... Okay, this might be dumb, schlocky, stupid fun, Killer Tire.
Yeah, no.
And not the guy was just not even a little bit.
Way too pretentious.
It's Rubber.
Way too pretentious, trying to be all meta and yeah.
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 Anyone for you, Bob?
Either you liked.
Either you were surprised how much you liked or was way worse than you thought it was going to be.
Mr. No Legs sucked.
Okay. No. There you go.
I'll tell you when it was better.
Oh, yeah?
I was surprised at how much I like Knockoff with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, jeez.
Because I've always kind of liked that movie. Like, I saw it many, many, many years ago, as I said on the episode, and then hadn't watched it in probably 15 years or so, and then we watched it for the show, and I was like, wow.
Okay.
This has got something going on. Like, this movie's like a friggin' bullet.
You just like the Tickler.
I want the Tickler cut. They need to do... I need someone out there. I need a boutique releasing company to remaster this movie in 4K, do a new 4K scan from the interpositive, and give us the Tickler cut.
Got it.
That's what I need.
I was just thinking of that movie today.
Thank you.
That was us doing the episode of Knock Off. That was fun.
Oh my gosh. Next email comes in from DJ Campbell. All
right.
And he goes, hey guys, it's DJ. So I started watching The Predator thinking it was Arnold's. Seriously, they made Predator then Predator. Don't get me started on that nonsense. So I didn't really notice till the guy put the gauntlet of the Predator on, and I go, "What the f? You can do that?" Oh, he's talking about the new Predator. Gotcha. I was just confused for a second there.
Shane Black's version.
He put the gauntlet of the Predator on, and he's like, "I don't know." He goes, "I had no, what the? you can do that. Then I dove into the Predator hole. So add these to the list: Predator 2, Predators, and the Predator.
I don't think Predators actually counts.
He says they all meet BMR's qualifying requirements, really? Mostly in the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm going to finish my The Predator movie while imagining Arnie in full Predator gear fighting them on their planet on a hunting reserve. Oh, new movie idea. Old Arnold decked out in their gear fighting Predators. Print the money. That's what happened to Dutch. Oh, my Hot Pocket's ready. Bye, guys. And P.S. Bob, your breath smells like hot canned tuna.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
that was
it.
A random, guys, that
hot
was
canned
a,
tuna, man. That, how do you that, know? How did he know I?
Yes.
Shots fired.
Okay, wow. Okay.
Who's seen The Predator?
I haven't seen The Predator.
Have you seen Predators?
No, I haven't seen any of them. The only ones I've seen were Predator 1, Predator 2. I haven't seen any of the AVPs, and I saw Prey, which I thought was
fun. Oh, yeah, that's right. Prey
was great.
The sister sequel.
And they're making another one.
Yeah, which is good, because, The Predator definitely qualifies for the film for this podcast, though, and I will say, I really love The Predator.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked it. I don't know
how Shane Black can write a
2018 movie.
Yeah, I really like with Boyd Holbrook.
Yeah.
I thought he did a really good job, and I really liked...
What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. Did you see The Predator?
No.
Joe doesn't watch anything.
Never mind. Predators was really cool, too. Adrian Brody?
I haven't seen either of those.
Dude.
They're good.
Lawrence Fishburne shows up for a cameo in Predators.
Not The Predator. The Predator from 2018 is hot trash. I mean, The Predator.
I thought
Predators.
It was really good.
Gosh.
Predator, I thought Predators.
A movie
Predator.
That... Farrell loves and Bob Predator, hates. Predator, now I have Predator. To see it.
Yeah.
Predator 2 is my favorite.
Predator
2 Predator. Is your favorite?
Yeah.
More than the first one?
Well, the first one's always good, but I mean, if you had to...
Out of the sequels?
Out of the sequels, if I had to pick one that has more rewatch value, I like watching Danny Glover.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Gary Busey gets cut in half.
Yeah.
And Bill Paxton's scene on the subway.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more fun and more popcorn than the first one. The first one's a great, great movie.
The Jamaican, the Rasta gangster in the, alleyway?
Yeah, or the Yeah. At the hotel suite.
Yes.
Oh,
the whole thing. Tough. I think the whole franchise is kind of an unsung franchise.
I agree. I don't know about the AVP movies because I...
No, we're not going to cut. We're not going to go with AVP. But
well, we'll do that on the show at some point.
But the Predator franchise, the four Predator movies.
Yeah.
And for those playing at home, I think we said Predator about 300 times.
Yeah. Predator.
Next email comes from...
Wait, you didn't see Predator?
Next email comes from Charlie Francois.
Yeah,
says,
Bonsoir.
Hey, James. Hope you and the gang are doing all right. Still loving the show. Can't get enough of it. Glad I subscribed to the Patreon because I'm not waiting a whole week for more of you guys. Nice. Tell Bob my wife is, quote, not responsible for the shit that comes out of Hollywood, quote. Mm-hmm. As a French woman, she has the incredible honor of having Quentin Dupieux from Rubber fame signed to her production company.
I was just going to say.
So if anything, she's responsible for the crap that comes out of Paris. Thank you very much.
Wow. Oh, so tell her how you feel, James, about Rubber.
It's not bad as tired movies go.
How's that shoe taste?
James.
Super. What did you say? Super meta for its own. What did you say, Ryan?
I thought Rubber is pretentious and too meta for its own good.
Look, it's a piece of crap.
If you ever,
I don't care.
Charlie, I don't know if you've heard the Rubber episode because I don't remember when you jumped in or if you've gone through the backlog or not, but I did. One of my more crystal clear rants basically said, screw you to Quentin.
Screw you, Quentin Dupieux. Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, not only is it bad, but I want to personally insult the guy that made it. That's how angry
good old
I was.
Quentin Dupieux.
Keep being French.
Yeah. We love the French. I know Charlie cringes every time I press. I think he told me that one time, but it's just for stupid fun.
I love it.
We are not making any political statements. It's part of our show. No politics.
No. The French know cinema.
I didn't even know that was the French anthem at first. I just thought it sounded like a rousing, song to play every once in a while.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion for Good Movies Rule. I think asking for your co-hosts and patrons to give out a decimal point rating is kind of awkward. If you really want to, do it IMDb style. What do you think of just having the final ratings be a round number? Take the average, and give the official BMR rating to one decimal point. Oh, I get what you're saying. So everybody
do math.
Yeah. So he wants me to do math on
the spot.
Show?
You got to do math on the spot. Yeah.
Charlie, I don't disagree with you that it's awkward. I'll take that under advisement. I'll consider it.
All right, fine.
Although if you keep doing Spielberg movies, there's going to be a lot of tens. Please do Hook on BMR. Keep up the good work, guys. Charlie Franzo, we almost did Hook during the
reveal.
Wait, whoa.
F his West Side Story.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Steven Spielberg's,
West Side Story.
Talking about Hook, though.
Hook qualifies for BMR.
I know it does. I'm just saying, he said, there's going to be a lot of 10s. No, there's not.
Well, not every movie he's done is a 10.
No.
You know.
No, not in the last 10 years.
No. I agree with you.
Absolutely not.
No. Ready Player One.
That was a great movie.
That was six years ago. All right, last 6 years.
Yeah.
Next email comes from Bill Fennell. He says, hi, Bill from Memphis here.
Hey.
Finally joined the Patreon this month. Let's go. I'm only at the introductory level for now, which is not a representation of my appreciation for what you guys are doing, just that I have three kids and I'm broke. That's why we make it $3.
There we go.
Yeah, man.
So
nothing wrong with that.
Don't feel bad.
$1 a kid.
Most of the shows at that level. I just listened to the Back to the Future episode of Good Movies Rule, and you guys missed a big opportunity. Ooh.
You can feed starving children in Africa for $1 a day.
That's right. When you were discussing how Steven Seagal would have ruined the movie as Doc Brown, he wouldn't have said 1.21 gigawatts. He could have said, we don't need 121 gigawatts. I just create 1.21 gigawatts. At which point, he'd just take off his shirt and do the truffle shuffle like Chunk from Goonies and start generating enough electricity to send the DeLorean 1,000 years into the future. He would be his own personal Mr. Fusion. That guy is the worst.
Facts. Nice.
Awesome.
Marty, please excuse the crudity of the scale. I didn't have time to... Marty, please excuse the crudity of this model. I didn't have time to build it to scale or to paint it, but I could have if I had 5 more minutes. Stupid.
Yeah. He's stupid.
Next email comes from Ryan Foth.
Oh.
Hey, another Ryan.
Yeah, I would say, you send in the email?
Well, I mean, you never know. There's a lot more Ryan Farrells out there.
He kicks off the email with an all caps, BMR friggin' rules.
Nice.
Nice.
I'm newer-ish to your podcast, and I feel I've found my people. I absolutely love your show, catching up on old and new casts alike. Having worked at a mom-and-pop video store rental... Our video rental store in central Wisconsin in the mid-late 90s.
Must have been a cool time.
We got to meet this guy.
Your show speaks to me. My son and I enjoy your humorous banter, candor, and most of all, your love for films and movies. Going to get some merch for sure. Rep and support everything you guys are doing. Let me know if you hold tryouts for guest hosts on your show, which could be played as a great tryout comedy montage, by the way. Hanging out with you guys, loving crapping on movies would make my day. I'd bring the snacks and beer. Keep up the fantastic work. Never quit. P.S. Arnold does make everything better. Long live Snake Plissken, Masters of the Universe, the movie, Hulkamania, Saturday morning cartoons, and all the forgotten movies of the people. BMR fan Ryan Foth. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah, like this guy.
Except for Snake Plissken, huh?
We occasionally have patrons come on, whether they're coming through the neighborhood or that's something we do all the time. You know, I don't want to make any promises, but I appreciate all the nice and kind things that you said, buddy. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
This email comes from Mike Nelson. I could swear I requested this movie a while back, but I guess I never sent the email or it fell through the cracks of the internet or something because there's no trace of it in my emails. I don't know. The movie's called Going Overboard. Not to be confused with the Kurt Russell one.
Oh, okay.
That's a good
thing
movie.
I thought.
This is Adam Sandler's first movie ever back in 1989 before he was even on SNL.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this on the shelf in Blockbuster back in the Billy Madison days, but I never had the nerve to rent it because even as a kid, I must have been able to sense the dog crap festering inside that big old plastic Blockbuster box.
Oh, boy.
Because this thing is a 1.8 on IMDb.
Oof.
Yeah.
That would be lower than any movie we've ever done. A 1.8.
I've never seen it.
And an 11% Rotten Tomatoes. That's got to be one of the lowest rated movies I've ever come across. Would love to hear you guys suffer through this one. Okay, thanks. I'd love to hear you guys suffer through this one.
I tell you, man, these people are sadistic.
I'd even watch it myself just for the episode and to fulfill 30 plus years of morbid curiosity.
Let's do it.
Oh, you can do it. You and Bob get together and do it, and I'll be sick that day.
Come on.
I'll put it on the list, and if the BMR supercomputer pulls it, we'll do it.
Let's do it. It's Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, It's his first film, sure. I've never seen it. I know I'm very familiar with this movie, and yes, it is very habitually ranked in like horrible movie list.
Next email comes from Chris Hill. It says, hello from Australia. G'day, guys. I've been listening to your podcast a lot as I suffer a back injury and have a lot of time at home laying on the floor. What I love about your show is not only the movie reviews, which bring me back to my childhood, but the mailbag segments make me laugh out loud. I hope this one is. Dang, wouldn't that be a disappointment? The one email segment he gets on is the one that's not.
That's the one that's not, you know, funny.
Be funnier, Ryan. Come on.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
I think doing these mailbag segments separates you guys from the other podcasts. I feel like I'm right there with you, and it just makes the whole experience more personal and a joy. On a quick side note, I don't know how many listeners can relate to my childhood, but I was one of the unfortunate saps that had a dad bring home a Betamax tape machine, not the standard VHS of the 80s.
Oh, man.
Well, I weep for this guy's childhood. So my childhood was thrust into the B-grade movies available on Betamax as they never had latest releases. And to my horror, it recently brought back memories of my dad bringing home a Friday night movie called Treasure of the Four Crowns, an utter piece of shite movie. It was so bad, my dad kept it on until the very end and just roared with laughter at our disgust.
Wow.
This movie really was a septic tank of floating turds. We still laugh about that night in 1985, all these years later, at our family dinners, and Dad still laughs his ass off at torturing us through the whole movie. I still remember my brothers and I yelling at Dad to switch it off so we could watch Free to Air instead of the horror before us. Anyway, thanks for the memories. Glad you guys have started Good Movies Rule. We'll join Patreon when I get my back fixed and back to work. All the best from Down Under. Love your work. Cheers. Thanks, Chris Hill.
Cheers, sir.
Appreciate you, brother.
Hope you get back on your feet.
I'll tell you, I would love to find a working Betamax player.
Can somebody look up that movie for me?
What'd you say it was called?
Treasure of the Four Crowns.
Treasure of the Four Crowns.
1 minute.
Yeah. Well, while you're doing that, I'll keep going. But let me know when you've got it. Man, oh man. We got two emails. We got three more emails, I think, here. But let's go. Chris Shameless writes in, the Shameless Canadian. Hey, James and BMR crew. James, I just listened to the Double Dragon episode, and I have to send you well wishes for your horrible pain. I cannot imagine the absolute agony and misery you were in, the nausea, the feeling that it would never end, the unrelenting pure hell of it all. And then to top it all off, you got a kidney stone.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice.
Well played. I like that.
That's just adding insult to injury. Be well, the Shameless Canadian. Yeah, I appreciate that, Chris. We also got two emails, one from Jonathan Golab and one from J.R. Christensen, both titled Al Leong. So they both emailed me on the same day about Al Leong.
That's okay. Interesting.
Isn't that a little bit? That's kind of interesting.
A little sus?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Jonathan Golab said, just finished the Double Dragon episode, and I just needed you to know this fun tidbit about Al Crap's About to Go Down, a.k.a. the henchman Leong. His officially credited nickname on IMDb is Al Kabong Leong, and his documentary is called The Henchman, The Al Leong Story. That's it. Keep kicking ass. Appreciate that, John, for the clarification. So, all right. So, guys, if you're out there and you want to watch an entire documentary about one of the best stuntmen of all time, it's out there. It's called The Henchman, The Al Leong Story, I would suggest.
Did you watch it?
I have not watched it yet, no. Oh. But I want to watch it. And J.R. Christensen basically said, interesting timing as Al Leong was on the latest episode of another podcast. And so he linked that in here, the Odd Podcast. So there's all kinds of stuff out there with Al going on. I love Al, man. I love Al. And I think personally, he doesn't get enough credit for all that he did in the 80s and 90s.
No.
So I'm glad they made a movie about him. Next email is from Vince Hines. Says, I'm back for more fun questions to take you by surprise, BMR crew. This week I ask for who you decide to take on a road trip across the country. You can only pick from Good Movies Rule people, though. As for me, I got Ferris Bueller driving, Marty McFly on the music, and Barf in the back chilling with me. P.S. Having done awards for Black Moon Rising, I am picking Double Dragon all over it all day, but that's just me. So out of just the Good Movies Rule movies, and you've got three other seats in your car,
man,
who are you taking or on this car trip with you? And I'll pull up the episodes here so you know what they are, because there's been nine of them. But we've got Back to the Future. We've got Jurassic Park. We've got Reservoir Dogs. The Nice Guys. Spaceballs. Predator. Ferris Bueller. They Live. And Jaws. Who are you taking on a car trip with you?
Now, like the movie?
No, or characters.
Characters from it?
This is a tough one.
Oh,
this is a tough one.
I would take most. I would pretty much go straight Spaceballs.
You're gonna put Colonel Sanders,
listen, Rick Moranis.
I was gonna say, if you're
the characters.
Yes,
they're the characters from the movie. You're gonna have Lord Helmet. Prepare to turn left.
Yes,
turning left. Would be it.
Oh my gosh.
Colonel Sanders driving, Lord Helmet Sanders in the passenger.
Yeah.
And you're riding in the back with the guy that goes dum dum dum.
Yeah, exactly.
Dum,
one of those space balls.
That's right.
Oh, no, the one goes,
Dark Helmet.
That guy. Or the guy that gets his Schwartz taken out.
I think
it wouldn't be bad. You had like Lone Star driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
Quint in the passenger seat just telling stories.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know.
I would do Lone Star, Barf, and Princess Vespa. And she'd just be bitching about her hair care products that we forgot.
I'd try and go with the most interesting guys that I think would be the most hilarious combination. Okay. So riding shotgun with me is going to be Ryan Gosling's character from The Nice Guys.
That would be hilarious.
Okay.
He was awesome.
Because, you know, he was awesome in that.
Yeah.
I'd have Dr. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park in the back seat.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
And then I'd have
Jeff Goldblum or the
Jeff Gold. Yeah. The, okay, yeah. Okay. So it's Dr. Ian Malcolm. And then I would have Mr. Brown, Tarantino's character from Reservoir Dogs.
Why?
Because think of the conversation between, which that was basically just Tarantino playing himself.
Yeah.
Between Tarantino.
Yes.
Dr. Ian Malcolm. And March and me in the front seat from Nice Guys. Come on. That would be awesome.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Who you got?
Not bad. I'm telling you, I'm taking Quint for sure.
Oh, you're taking Quint for sure.
I'm absolutely taking Quint. Like, I would love to just listen to Quint talk.
Yeah.
Man. You got me on Ian Malcolm.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be another great thing to just hang out and, like, you know, go to In-N-Out Burger on the way and you know, pick up whatever.
Can I change mine?
Yeah.
Was Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, it was one of them.
Dude.
Cameron?
Cameron Fry.
Taking Cameron Fry.
And
Sloan, Ferris, and
Sloan.
Cameron? All three of them?
Uh-huh.
That's it.
That'd Dude, we would be
Sloan,
on every parade.
Ferris, and Cameron
We would
Fry.
Get up on every parade and sing songs.
Yes.
We would have the best time of our lives.
Yes.
For one day.
For one day.
Come on.
Bob, who are you getting in that?
Marty McFly.
Who are you getting in that car?
Chief Brody and Quint.
And Chief Brody and Quint?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. But I forgot somebody, so I have to remake my car.
I was going to say.
Oh.
Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, my gosh.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yes. And Carl Weathers.
Both of them in the back seat. Now, I'm still taking Ryan Gosling from Nice Guys in the front seat.
So Ryan Gosling is like permanent passenger.
Permanent passenger. I think out of everybody, he'd be the most fun to drive somewhere with because that character is hilarious.
Yeah, he is.
But you just put Arnold and Jesse. You can't even not pick Arnold and Jesse. I didn't even think about Predator. Right? And put a Billy like sitting on the top of the car.
Just standing out there with his knives.
Getting hit by birds.
Awesome. Did somebody look up The Treasure of the Four Crowns?
Yeah, I think we got some info on it.
All right, hit me with it.
Well, it's a foreign movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the problem right there.
Is it English? Like, is it subtitled or is it?
No, the movie is an English movie.
Okay.
But the original title was El Tesoro de las Cuatro Coronas.
What year did it come out?
83. It's a PG-13 movie, and it is billed as being in SuperVision 3D.
Wow.
Yes.
Must be nice.
Wee-wee.
Charlie's going to hate that. Okay, go ahead.
Sits at a 4.1.
Oh.
A 4.1 out of 10 with only 733 votes.
Oof.
So it is a...
Couldn't even break 1,000.
Is there a plot synopsis?
I'm trying to get to that one, yeah.
Okay.
A group of adventurers are gathered together to retrieve some mystical gems which are in the possession of a deadly cult.
Oh, easy. Teenagers trying to get gems from a cult. That's a pretty...
I mean, the plot sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's so unoriginal.
Yeah. For the 80s.
Oh, people are always losing their gems with cults.
Know, come on, I know.
Come on.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
But yeah.
New these days.
That's what we got there.
All right.
After the success of Coming At You by Canon Films... which was 1981, another 3D film by the same producers was rushed into production. And because of that, we got Treasure of the Four Crowns.
That's awesome.
I've heard of Coming At You. I know that's kind of a cult film.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's kind of had a popular thing.
Well, sorry, guys. We didn't have time. We only had a short amount of time for mailbag today, which is why it's going to be, you know, little like 30 minutes-ish, I think. I don't know what it'll end up being by the time we've cut all the times Ryan has
said
F-bombs. Just constantly swearing over here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Big swearer guy.
Yeah.
My, potty mouth.
Yeah.
I know.
So,
anyway. It's Joe.
Joe's like, hi.
Oh,
I'm the predator. It's me. sorry, no more Taylor Swift jokes. But yeah, but so sorry we didn't have time to get to the voicemails today because, again, we needed to keep it short. But wanted to not let this backlog of emails build up too much. Thank you guys for reaching out. If you want to be featured on the show and have us answer a question, or you know, you can call. We will get back to the voicemails at some point. Or you can email us. thisshowistrash@gmail.com or 262-757-8567, and we will get back to you. But I just want to say I love you guys. I love how much you support the show. Whether you're a patron or not, you're supporting us by, you know, emailing us, calling us, giving us things to answer and respond to. It's just a great help. And so we appreciate you guys. And keep coming up with these awesome questions. We're having fun over here.
James is really going to like this.
What?
Treasure of the Four Crowns has an opening prologue. Text blurb.
Ooh, so my favorite.
Right up your alley.
Just tell me what I need to know. Don't spend 10 minutes
exactly
info dumping.
The film's opening prologue states, in the universe, there are things man cannot hope to understand.
All right.
Powers he cannot hope to possess.
Bob just take his... Bob's out.
Bob has walked away. Okay.
Forces he cannot hope to control. The Four Crowns are such things. Yet the search has begun.
All right. Cool. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.